All right, well, good morning again. I am going to have us for a minute. If you you can either choose to close your eyes or keep them open, whatever way you want to do it. But I want us to remember back to our childhood. You remember back that far? Back to our childhood. Some of us are a little easier, like my 8-year-old, since she's still in it. But I want us to think about when we were young and we had life all planned out, okay? All planned out, and you had a plan for your life. And, you know, maybe some of you wanted to be firefighters, ballerinas, a nurse in the army, a stay-at-home mom, a lot of different things. And some of you wanted to go to your favorite college. You had that college all picked out. You get your dream job. You married your dream man or woman. Right? And you had the fairy tale wedding. Probably more women than men probably had the fairy tale wedding planned, right? You know, you have kids. For those of you in the workforce, you climb the corporate ladder, you get that big job, you provide for your family, live in a nice house, make lots of money, on and on and on and on, right? And for some of you, and you can open your eyes if they're closed now, if you remember back, for some of you, maybe that did happen, right? Maybe your dream did go and is planned out as what you wanted it to be. And, you know, you just are pleased and happy and everything with your life. And I would say for mine, up until, you know, again, I'm 40 in one day, my past 40 years, I feel like my life did get planned out that way, right? Thought for sure I was going to have boys twice. You can see how that turned out. I was the only granddaughter growing up, and I was the oldest as well. So anytime any of my mom or my aunts were pregnant, you know, you waited for that phone call, is it going to be a girl? And it never was, right? So my wishes, my prayers to have daughters, to have the relationship my mom and I have that I can carry on, that came. I married my dream man sitting there in the, I'm leaving him for a week with kids, so brownie points, right? You know, and like I said, I've climbed the corporate ladder. I have a very lucrative, wonderful job, and I love it. I love my job. They always say to find something that you wouldn't mind not getting paid for, and I love my job, right? So it just happened. I was at Cornerstone 3 years ago. And so you heard earlier how that came to be, right? How Cornerstone kind of found me. And Pastor Brad, he's now retired at the time, he was preaching at the time. He ended his message by saying, if anybody would be, has it on your heart to become a pastor, to please contact him. Okay. And I heard that same voice I heard when I had gone into Cornerstone before. You want to be a pastor. Okay, let me tell you, never once, not one inkling or planting of seed or any desire in my life up until that point did I think about working for a church, any way, shape, or form. So you kind of take a step back and look around. Me, are you talking to me? And I argued with him. Okay, I argued with God. I argued with Pastor Brad. I sat down and I think some of you probably met Pastor Greg, who's going to be starting on the 4th of July. I actually sat down with him and argued with him, and he's a great guy. He really is a great guy, just a wonderful speaker and so knowledgeable and a fantastic mentor, and I sat down with him, and I said, this cannot be the truth. I grew up Lutheran and turned Catholic, and there are not any women pastors, okay? That's not what I'm used to, and it's weird to have a woman as a pastor. It is, and this is my argument for 3 years. And, you know, I was walking into, and still arguing, walking into my job one day, and my favorite scripture came over me. And I realized that God was calling me to do this. This was not my plan. God was calling me to do this, and I had to say yes. So this is what came to mind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. You know, God really was giving me a clue with this. It was on my heart already, and he had my life plan in mind. And he created me from a different purpose than the one I'm in now. and I have to just say yes to him. You know, see, about 10 years ago, and you heard the story, I went from church being something I had to do and I had to go to be a good Christian, to something that I hungered for, and being in a relationship and truly having that relationship with Jesus. And I learned what it meant to be a Christ follower during these past 10 years, and to be fulfilled by the Holy Spirit. And submitting to God can really help lead the most joyous life that you can, and it completely changes and transforms you. I then realized that God was asking me to deliver this message to you, to others, and that you'll be able to, when you trust in God, completely put your life in God's hand. He will give you a user manual and help you truly be able to lead the life that he designed for you. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We are going to talk about my favorite verses in the Bible, my scripture passage that I recite over and over in my head when I don't know what the answer is. And I tell you what, God gives me the answer. He does. And I may argue with it, but I so clearly am able to understand. So we're going to break down this step by step. We're going to talk about what does this truly mean in our life. So the first one is trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I want you to think about this. Do you completely trust God? Completely. I mean, fully, deeply trust him. How many of us, when we don't know the answer, we turn to our spouse or our friends or Google and try to find the answer, right? You know, I had a family member in the hospital one Christmas Eve a couple years ago, and we were trying to figure this out, and a family friend was there, and she's on Google asking, you know, hey, Google, what does it mean when he has this symptom and everything? And we're like, Sue, stop. Stop. The doctor can hear you. And the doctor peeked his head around the corner, and he goes, what do you think I do when I leave the room? I don't know how confident that made me feel, but, you know, maybe they have a medical Google we don't know about. I'm not exactly sure, right? So many of us, you know, trust their opinions. And I'm wondering if that type of trust, the Google type of trust, I call it, is a type of trust that Proverbs is talking about when we talk about trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I really think that the type of trust that Proverbs is talking is more of this childlike faith, I'll call it. A few years ago, I had a then 5-year-old at the time. This is Emily. When she's 5, you can tell she's not. You can wave. There you go. That's my one that likes attention. Okay. And so I was a member of Cornerstone's prayer team. And we have these blue shirts that we wear when we're praying, when we're available for prayer, to announce it that says, how can I pray for you, on them. And you wear them to church so that you can be seen within the congregation. And people can see, I have, you know, if I need prayer, you can go into the prayer room afterwards, or we pray in the service, or whatever way you want to do it. And I then realized after church that I had to run to the grocery store. Couple things I had to get. So I sent my baby at the time, Ashley, home with my husband. It was going to be a quick in-and-out trip to Meijer. I don't know how many people have gone to Meijer on a Sunday. It is not a place for people that do not like crowds. I can tell you that right now. Sunday church crowds are the best, because everyone, you'll be walking with your cart, somebody else will be walking, and I'm trying to, you know, with my 5-year-old in the cart come around, and guess what? They see each other, and they hadn't finished their conversation at church, so they finish it in the aisle, right? And they're talking and everything, and it's wonderful, and it's great, and I'm glad for them, but I really want this child to go down for a nap, and if I miss that nap window, my Sunday's going to be ruined, right? So we're trying to get the heck in and out of Dodge. We had to grab a couple things for dinner. And I remember us, it was like yesterday, we were in the men's clothing aisle, because I think I tried to take a shortcut to get to the registers, and I was wearing my blue shirt, and I wasn't thinking anything about it, because nobody had asked me for prayer at that time. So I couldn't even remember I had it on. And it does draw attention. It's a pretty bright colored blue shirt, right? And so as we were walking by, Emily was in the front of the cart. there was this gentleman. I remember kind of seeing him out of the corner of my eye. And he was wearing overalls, and he just looked like he had the weight of the world on his shoulders. And he looked just kind of, I can just describe it as rough in terms of his clothing was beat up. You know, he didn't look like he had a haircut in a while, but it was just the way that his shoulders were hunched over as he was walking through. And he happened to see my shirt that said, "How can I pray for you?" And he said, "Man, I could really use some prayers right now." And I was tunnel focused on getting to that register. And I didn't hear him, which is terrible that I didn't hear him. But guess what? My five-year-old did. "Mom, that man just said he wanted prayers. You have your prayer shirt on." The man, and I'm like, we're in Meijer, not church, right? But I thought to myself, wow, I really did something right as a parent. Right? Pat myself on the shoulder, right? But honestly, I really do think that God used Emily to give me that message, that this man needed prayer. So Emily and I turned our cart around, and we chased this poor guy down, because I don't think he thought that we were going to follow him. So we stood there in the middle of the clothing aisle, and we talked to him, and we said, "What's going on?" And he said that he had sold everything. Inside his truck, he had his only possessions, his wife, his dogs, and things were not working out in Grand Rapids. And he just felt like he needed a change. And he was moving down south. He had no plans. He actually had nowhere he knew he was going to go. He just was going to start driving. And we prayed over this man. We prayed with him. And at the end, he said, "You know what? I feel like things are going to be okay." Right? And my five-year-old gave him that sense of peace for him to be able to feel that he could get on the road and trust God's faith. So let me ask you this. Do you have that childlike faith that you believe that if you ask God, he is going to give you the answer? And do you trust God with every single part of your life, fully giving your life to God? When researching this scripture, because it's my favorite one that keeps on coming up, I said, you know, I got to research a little bit more about it and what it's about. And I came across a story of a missionary man. His name was John Gibson Patton. And he lived in the early 1800s, and he was a missionary. He was trying to find a way to translate this type of trust with the natives he was with. And one day he was working in his hut that he had at the time, and he could not find a language, and he's sitting there and pondering, and a native came in, and Patton also built chairs, okay? This was the oldest looking chair I could find. I don't know if this is what his looked like, but we'll just imagine at this time. So Patton was building chairs, and this native came in and had never seen a chair before in his life. And he said, "What is this? What is this chair? What is this object?" And Patton said, "It's a chair. If you put your weight on it, it won't let you fall." Okay? So this native went and he sat on it and he touched it and he kind of put his weight down a little bit on this chair, right? Because he's never seen anything like this before. And eventually, he very slowly sat down and put his weight on this chair. And Patton said, "That is it. That is the translation I was trying to say when in Proverbs, you can put your full weight on God and not attempt to understand everything." So in other words, you can trust him. So how many of you, you're all sitting in chairs right now, how many of you, when you came on, questioned whether or not this was going to hold you? Did you look at it and say, "What is this for," right? "If I lean on it, will I fall?" Do we think about the engineering of the chair before we fully sit on it? No, we trust that this chair is going to hold us. And in the same way, we need to trust that God will also hold us. So let's move on to the second part of the verse. Do not lean on your own understanding. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." We'll never be able to fully understand the way that God is able to. I still don't understand why God chose me to become a pastor. It was nothing I desired. It was not part of my plan. And it's still not fully revealed to me why it is that he chose this. But you know what? We were never meant to truly understand everything. Jesus did not die on the cross so that we would go through our entire life on our own. He didn't want us to struggle or make decisions. He wanted us to have a partner in life. And you see, self-reliance or planning out everything that you do can be such a deceptive trap. We tend to pride ourselves in things we did, in the labels we put on ourselves, the career we had. Maybe it's the ability to make money. Maybe it's your good looks that you have, right? And we tend to say, this is mine. I made this. And it ends up becoming self-trust. And we end up thinking very highly of ourselves. And you know, without humbleness, we won't have much victory in faith because we cannot lean on or rely on God. We cannot pursue a major decision, whether it be financially or taking a new job, going to college, or a medical choice, a serious medical choice. We cannot fully make this on our own. We cannot fully just trust doctors or Dr. Google, right? We really need to think about and rely on God to give us the answers. My 5-year-old has turned on to a 12 going on 20-year-old, or whatever the age is when you slam the door and you're mad at your parents. We looked at her funny, and we become the worst things in the world at times, and very rarely does she do this anymore. But I'm sure those of you that have children may have experienced this, and then maybe the husbands and the dads said, if you slam my door one more time, I'm going to take it off the hinges. So that's our new thing that we're doing. So every time my husband and I, again, look at her funny or whatever, she'll run into her room, and we hear her talking in her room. And, you know, and this has been going on for years, and again, it's not often, but she had a hamster, so we figured she's talking to her hamster, and we hear her saying, I don't understand, and she's telling her side of the story, and there's a lot of these different things coming on, and my husband and I would chuckle, like, okay, maybe she has an imaginary friend, you know, and we chuckled to ourselves, like, who is she talking to? And finally, I asked her, I said, who are you talking to when you go in your room? And this child said, I'm talking to God. Oh, God, I don't understand. My parents aren't listening to me. Help me understand. And made me step back and go, wow, a 12-year-old goes to God with her problems. Imagine what problems you can talk to God at 40, at 60, at 82, at 101, whatever age you are. So ask yourself, who has all the right answers in your life? Is it you? Is it your spouse? Or is it God? Let's move on to part 3. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You know, the word acknowledge isn't just knowing that he's there or tipping your hat or tithing when you come to church or a quick prayer over a meal. It's fully trusting him and knowing him and developing this relationship with him and having him have control over your decisions. I have been part of a small group at Cornerstone. And so this is, for those of you not familiar, we call it life group or small group. And it's just people getting together around the same age. So ours were, at the time, mid-30s, younger kids. And we walk through life together. You know, you bring meals to each other. You pray when you need it. And you study scripture and do devotionals and all these things together. Now, I remember our leader at the time, and it was very insightful what he said. He was in the military, and he was talking about how he wanted this huge promotion. And he begged for it. And then he said something very profound that I started incorporating into my prayer life. And this is the profound part. You know, he would say, I really want this job. You know, I want this car. I want this new house. I want this promotion. And in my mind before he said this, I thought to myself, I just had to pray over and over and over and over again. And when you reach that 2,333,000 time that you've prayed this, God will answer. Okay? And I don't know if you've all done it before and you know the number, but I would appreciate it. And so then God would say, yep, you are blessed. You may have that. But what this person, our life group leader, taught us to do is he said, dear Jesus, I really, really, really want this, but if it is not your will, if it's not your will, help me to be okay with it. Help me to see what your will is for my life. And, you know, I've learned from that point to have complete faith and trust in God's direction, right? And this step that I'm taking in my life to become a pastor doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense financially. It doesn't make sense in many different ways. Sometimes my personality, the uncomfortableness I feel like having a woman pastor and all of these things. But you know what? And I'm very blessed to have my husband because he says God never lets us down. We need to trust him. God always gives us a way. And I get that reminder over and over again. You know, 1,000 years later, after Solomon in Proverbs, Jesus emphasized the same thing when he said, Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Seek God first. He has a plan for our life. All right, we talked about trust. We talked about acknowledging him, how God knows everything, and we don't have to understand everything. And let's talk about the final part of the verse of he will make your path straight. As I said in the beginning, I'm the only granddaughter and the oldest, right? So I have been pretty, you call it blessed, you can call it spoiled, whatever you want. But I've been lucky to be invited on girls' trips. And this is with my grandmother and my aunts and my mom and I. And we'd once a year go someplace. And nothing exciting, Gaylord, Traverse City, someplace. And it was staying in a hotel room. Sometimes we do crafts. There was always shopping. My aunt, her email is actually says pro shopper in her email address. So she knows, you take her with you if you need anything. She's fantastic, right? She's also a spitfire of a person, the redhead in the family. And she has to drive everywhere we're going. And I was so proud. This was before kids. I bought one of these nifty GPS units, okay? And these GPS units, you didn't need paper maps anymore. And I could plug in whatever store we had to go to, and man, it would get us there. And so I was so excited to have this latest technology. And so we decided we're going to the store. I don't remember the store. I think it was in Traverse City. And back in the day, the GPS units, when you would make a wrong turn, would say, recalculating route, recalculating route, recalculating route, over and over and over again, right? And guess what the redhead spitfire of my aunt did not believe the GPS unit because she knew the direction she was going in, right? And so it kept on going around. And the fun thing about this, too, would always ping right before it said recalculating route, recalculating route. So finally, 30 minutes of this, we feel like we're going the right way, and we hear that ping. And all of us in unison said, we know you're recalculating the route, right? We got lost. We kept turning. We have no idea where we went. I don't even know if we ended up at that store. I don't even know if she remembers the story. I should tell her. But I tell you what, we had no idea, right? And some of us may be feeling that way as well today, where we have no idea in what direction we're going, no idea what our future holds, uncertainty, worry, keeping us up at night. There may be changes, big changes coming up in your life, and you don't know what that's going to look like. But the good news is God promises to make our path straight if we fully give our lives to him. He may not do it our way, but he will do it his way, and his way really is the best. Proverbs 16:23 said, those who listen to instruction will prosper. Those who trust the Lord will be joyful. And I can't tell you how freeing it is when you ask God for advice. Now, I'm not perfect. I mess up. I used to be, or maybe still am, a type A personality, had to have everything controlled in my life. And I'd get to the point where I'd be so anxious of, you know, why is this not working? And I'd say, oh, wait, I haven't talked to God about it. And it's so freeing. It's a weight that gets lifted off your shoulder when you turn your life over to him. Also in Proverbs, favorite book of the Bible. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And my desire for you today is to be able to hear the word of God through my message. Understanding this verse and giving God control has truly changed my life on the outside, but it's also changed me internally. And you can truly feel the joy and peace. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ didn't die on the cross for us to have to continue to figure everything out on our own. He did it so we could have true forgiveness, true understanding, and a true relationship with him. Think about your life right now. Is there some area that you're completely not trusting God with, and you're still trying to hang on to that control? Do you feel like your path has not been straight? You've been distracted or sidetracked spiritually. What is it going to take for you to be able to get back on God's path for your life? Let's take a moment to pray. God, I thank you for the opportunity to spend time with this congregation. I ask that you watch over us, Lord. Help us to let go of our control and to put more faith in our future on you. We know that you love us with all your heart. You know, right now, God, some of us may be struggling to hold on to that control, and help us to release this. Help us to sense your grace and your peace, God. In Jesus' name, amen.